You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some
noise! Today on the first segment, we go over what happened in Aston Villa, because apparently the English, they know how to soccer better than we do, but apparently they're punching their damn players. Also, we go over all the MLS games. We go over flicking ears in Los Angeles, which it's kind of fun, but you probably shouldn't do it.
This all sounds like a preschool. In the second in the second segment, we're doing another brunch episode. We've got the amazing Susanna Collins and the amazing Jillian Sackovitz in studio with us. Wave at the camera, ladies. We talked to them about a lot of stuff that's happening in MLS and just some of the stuff that's going on with the women in soccer and some of these dope videos they're putting up. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Is good. How's it going?
Bam, bam, bam.
That's right. Yeah, I'm feeling extra Latino today.
We're gonna over Latino for some reason.
Yeah, I think the Latino isms are gonna be off the charts.
That's because we had a sip of Country Club yesterday.
That's right, we did. Something's coming up very soon for
wait
everybody.
Till you see what's coming up?
Nice
baby.
Fun. We did a little photo shoot.
Right. I had an Arizona for the first time in 10 years. Happy to announce, no more sperm. It's all gone.
Done with it. Who needs it?
Who needs that stuff?
Frankly, it's getting in the way of my life.
Yeah. Right? Is it pee? Is it not pee? No one needs to ask anymore.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Of course, this is how we start a soccer podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cooligans podcast. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero. I was drinking some water there. Sorry about that.
That's right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians up here at the top of Madison Square Garden in New York City.
At the Hackensack Meridian Health Stage 17.
That's right. And this is not only the funniest soccer podcast that you are going to listen to right now.
It is, though.
It is also what? What else is it?
Bruh. It's the gulliest soccer podcast.
That's right, bruh. Somebody whose name is Bruh, they're like, whoa, he's talking to me.
What? Huh? Rewind that, man.
They
finally got my letter. That guy definitely sends letters.
I hope somebody's named Bruh and listens to this show.
Oh, no.
It might be, you can imagine, like, maybe some, like, Eastern European name is, like, Bruh or Brew or something. Oh, my God, this show's so dumb. Hello.
Look, it's the smartest.
Fun show in store today because we have, we're going to be talking a lot of the MLS. Games. We're going to talk about some of the Champions League games that are coming up and the ones that happened last week. And we're going to be joined by Susanna Collins and Jillian Sackovitz of Major League Soccer, MajorLeagueSoccer.com, MLS Digital, Atlanta United, Fox Sports.
Everybody
is involved.
Too many gigs.
Too many jobs.
Leave some for us.
Ladies, give us some jobs. You're taking all the jobs.
Just give us one. We'll take one.
So we're excited because the reason why I think we're in a good mood because we still haven't gotten caught up on sleep after the 24-hour game at Rockefeller Center the other day.
Ooh.
I don't know why you said ooh, but...
Because I slept like 9 hours. I don't know what you're talking about.
Actually, I didn't sleep much. I probably went to sleep right around 4:30, 4:45 and woke up
same
at like
around,
10 a.m. I just can't oversleep anymore. I don't know what it is. My body's like, you know, you got to be up 9, 10 a.m. Or, you know, even though, I mean, like, we're speaking like comedians, like 9 a.m. is so early, bro.
There's parents right now like, wait a minute, you got 3.5 hours?
La-di-da,
well,
sir.
Damn, well rested. I woke up at 12:55.
Wow. Yeah.
Hell yeah. The reason I woke up is...
You don't sleep as much as you hibernate every night.
Yo, there was drool everywhere. Everywhere. My beard was crusted over. I was covered in drool. I woke up because my wife was making noise and I'm like, babe, what are you doing? And I'm trying to sleep. She's like, it's almost 1 o'clock. She's like, I swear to God, you're snoring so loud you're waking, you woke everybody up.
And that's a perfect impression of your wife. You're not doing a voice.
Uncanny.
But
Tim yes. just put 3.5 hours uninterrupted. Amazing. Dude's got kids. He yawns a lot when you see him.
So, yes, if you don't know, we hosted the NYCFC 24-hour game. They did this last year that we, this was the sandwich, you know, the goal after the goal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that video was very, it was a big hit.
Pulled the sandwich out of my pocket, didn't even score. I was celebrating with you.
Exactly.
You had scored.
That's how you celebrate all my accomplishments that way.
And you scored 2 last year, right?
I scored 2 last year, yes.
2, that's, yeah, it's big.
Well, you got to score 2.
And an assist this year.
You got to score 2 this year in the game, which, look, I mean, if this video did not exist, I don't think
people would believe
it actually happened.
It's not a chance in hell that anybody actually still believes it happened. But there's only video of one of them.
It's only video of one of them.
So people believe that happened because you can't miss it.
Yeah. Right? And the other goal and the other assist is hearsay. We don't know.
Yeah.
Mostly he said, she said, I think.
I wished there was video of it because I scored them both while eating a very bad tuna sandwich.
I'm not a big fan of tuna. Are you a fan of tuna?
I'm not the biggest fan.
Okay.
It's so bad that it looked like roast beef. That's what I thought it was when I picked it
okay.
up.
Okay. Yeah, that's bad tuna, guys.
It's not good tuna right there, folks.
But it was really fun, right? And we had a good time doing
that.
Shout out to...
And people said you got to up the game, right? We got to up the stakes this year.
That's right.
We got to do something bigger than me pulling a sandwich out of my pocket. And I think we did it.
Yeah, I think it was. If you didn't see the video, I mean, we could just say it because the video's up.
Yeah, of course,
whatever.
Video's
but,
out.
We did a fun little bit. Fun little prank.
We did a little bit.
Which not everyone knew, right? Not everyone knew what was going on.
Only 2 people knew what was happening.
That's right. So during the game, Alexis, you know, with those bad hammies, and we're not talking about the sandwich.
No, I would have loved some bad ham instead of that terrible tuna. So, terrible tuna, my nickname in high school, folks.
I pulled my boar's head. Oh, man.
Oh, God. Somebody check my prosciutto.
we need a physio fast. Someone with a deli degree.
Yeah. We need a Sula Maria.
So you had pulled up right in the right center pitch.
Did that on purpose, right?
Yeah.
We planned this out. We had a physio, a.k.a. Janner,
yeah.
came through with the fanny pack over his shoulder.
That's right.
Of course, we only use hipster doctors, all right? If you ain't a hypebeast, you can't be my doc.
You need to be wearing joggers if you're going to give me medical advice.
Yo, what do you mean? Your pants ain't tapered, my guy? Then you need to get up out of here. Those, what Yeezy season is that? I can't have you be my doctor. So Janner comes through, gives me my medicine.
That's right.
Which happens to be a sandwich. And I hop right back up.
That's
and
right.
Everyone thought the bit was over. The bit was not over. As terrible as that sandwich was, I ate the whole thing.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
While eating
you
the
are
sandwich,
committed man.
Yeah.
You-
while eating the sandwich and holding a microphone.
Yeah.
Your boy scored another goal and got an assist.
That's right. I
almost took some Asian girl's head off with a cross. I legit whipped a cross at her like she was 35 feet away from me. She was all of 2 feet away. She ducked out of the way. I was like, yeah, but you know, it was pinpoint. That's all I'm trying to say.
But yeah, it was exciting. I scored 0 goals.
That's right.
We had a bit.
We'll wait for it. You want to say what it was or we'll wait
for
it?
Nah, it doesn't matter. Who knows? Maybe we'll do it next year. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, but.
Stay tuned for that, folks.
The team that you were on was very good. You had like 2 dudes on the team that were just absolute ballers.
Me? What was the other guy's name? 2 goals and an assist.
Yeah, it was.
By the way, we only played for 15 minutes. And I would like to bring people back for all of our day ones, listening right now who go all the way back. You may remember a little incident in which Christian had set up Cooligans FC. And after a couple games, I was like, yeah, man, I think I might be interested in doing that. And Christian was like, no, we don't need your services. No, we good.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely before Alexis lost the, you know, 70 pounds. Okay.
Hi,
so
Vicky.
It's a little different. He was in a little different shape. Okay.
Nonetheless, was still willing to play.
There's a difference between being interested in uh-huh. or intrigued by the idea of playing soccer.
And capable.
Okay. Just because, you know, you're slightly fascinated with the idea. It's very easy to like envision yourself. You know, it's like, like they tell goal scorers, like, you got to envision you with the ball behind the net.
Right. This is, you got to picture yourself winning the World Cup.
You got to envision, for Alexis, you got to envision yourself putting on the shoes, you know? Like,
I don't
and
know.
Slipping on the shirt.
There seems to be a lot of sweat in this in this vision of mine.
So, very challenging. So, well, we did have a good time. For the people who were there, thank you for coming out. I know there were some people who signed up specifically because we were going to be there. It means the world. It was cool to hang out. Nice 2 a.m., bro. Very New York. You know how we do a straight up gully. Whenever I want to hang out in Manhattan, I'm like, yo, I told my homies, like, yo, let's go out to Rockefeller Center, right?
That's
where the trap house is at.
Right? And yo, watch yourself. Yo, clutch your pearls, my guy.
And so
in Rockefeller Center.
We're always like, ice, skate. Let's go skate. Yeah. It's skating right there. It's a couple feet away from us.
Yeah. Yo, you want to go ice skating, my dude? We go hands, yo. I'm a little scared.
It's very slippery out there, okay? But we did have a good time. So, we always like to start the show by showing love to the people who show love to us on iTunes. We surpassed 400 reviews, everybody. Thank you so much. You guys are the absolute best. Now it's like the quest for 500.
Yeah, 420? Where are you going with this?
The quest for 410, and then we stop. Yeah. Thank you for everyone who leaves a review. And you can leave a review on any, I don't know, whatever platform you use. Some people don't have iPhones, which, like, yeah, I feel bad for you. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm sorry that things are so going so rough in your life.
I know, man.
You rocking that Galaxy S4.
not even allowed on airplanes with that joint.
It's a fire hazard, I think. So, if you have the ability to leave a review on any, I know Stitcher and all these other stuff, like if you want to do that, feel free to do that. I want to read a review over here.
Read it over here.
Did I have it in front of me? So here goes. Actually, you know what? You read a review. Read a review. Do you have a review that you like?
I do. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. Because there's something else I want to read.
Okay. All right. I want to read this review. It's from MLS Reddit.
Oh,
the whole Reddit. They all got together. Don't do that individually. We need the individual ones. But it's pretty dope. MLS Reddit. Who in the past Reddit? I don't think has showed us a lot of love.
They still don't.
They still don't. We got a little bit. This is it's a 5 stars, obviously, because we ain't reading your 1 star, your 2 star, your 3 star, or your 4 star. By the way, we got a lot of 4 star reviews. What are y'all doing? Just give us 5 stars. Mm-hmm. So this is the most only podcast you need.
All right. There we go. Somebody's
little
listening.
Throwback,
Red is listening.
Little callback. Cooligans is the Wegmans to Rogers Walmart.
Okay. So now I just, but finish the review. Okay. I have questions about this. Go ahead.
Get your gully bucks now before the squad shows up at your house with Alec Baldwin and his mother to film a commercial. Hashtag shouts to us. There's a lot there.
All right. I said last week, we got to unpack this one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This is another, we're going to open this up and we're going to go one by one.
So I don't really know. I mean, Wegmans is not a New York.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Started in New York State.
All right.
Like Buffalo or Rochester, one of them two.
All right.
It's a New York brand.
Nobody knows those places.
Nah. Well, I don't know. You got one of the 5 boroughs. You know, even like Yonkers, I'll give you, but not Rochester. All right. So Wegmans to Rogers Walmart, which is pretty dope.
So Rogers Walmart, which is
Bennett.
Oh, got it. Oh, so I didn't. That confused me. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. All right. How dope is that? That's pretty dope.
All right.
That's like a low key brat. You know what I mean? I'm down.
Joe, maybe with a silencer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That shit. By the way,
sniper. We got sniper. I read
it. Did you know that's not what silencers do at all?
I know that.
Yeah, you
that's
still
a
get
movie.
A,
that's just James Bond.
A very loud bang out of a silencer. What's that movie where the assassins were shooting at each other from across the street, like in a packed New York City?
I don't remember the
and
movie.
Nobody was watching. No.
No,
it doesn't do that at all.
Nobody knows.
It muffles the flame that punk comes out sometimes.
Okay.
That's all it does. Anyway, get your gully bucks now before the squad shows up at your house with Alec Baldwin and his mother to film a commercial.
Okay. This one I don't know.
I don't get this reference at all.
So is there a Walmart or Wegmans commercial or something like that that Alec Baldwin was involved in?
With his mother? With his mother. You bringing Alec Baldwin's mother to
it?
Mama Baldwin?
Is that where he gets that temper from?
Yeah, probably. Yo. Imagine she just walked in with a bat. I'm like, yo. Just
punching paparazzi. You know? Your mom, chill.
The little pig that you are. Shout out to Alec Baldwin.
Let us know, if clarify what that is. We would love to know.
I want you to know we love it.
So
was this review helpful? I just hit yes it was.
You know, it actually enriched my life. Yeah. I'll be honest.
Thank you. I feel like I'm further along in my goals after reading that.
I think that felt like a TED talk. I'm a little bit inspired, mm-hmm. to be honest. So
I believe.
So this is not a review. This is a tweet that we just received a couple hours ago.
Oh, this might be one of my favorite things ever.
So this is John in DC. This is at JN Howard 78. And he says, at Taco Coolians, thanks for upping my life vocabulary. My wife and I welcomed a new baby girl to the world yesterday. And one of the things I said to her was, quote, shouts to us.
Yo.
Still looking for a good opportunity to refer to my daughter as, quote, my guy. Thanks, fellas. Yo, congratulations,
Yo,
John.
Shouts to you. But also shouts to us. We've given you this beautiful new vocabulary.
That's right. And it's interesting. I mean, when did he say shouts to us? You know, he could say it when the baby's born. He could say it during consummation. You know, it could be shouts to us. We just had sex, you know?
Yeah, shouts to us.
I think it could be used in so many ways.
Yeah, I finished. By the way, Tim hit us up. Alec Baldwin was in a Wegmans commercial.
Okay. See, we don't really get Wegmans ads. You know, those are not.
We don't get commercials. I only get Hulu commercials while watching Hulu.
Well, yeah, it's like the our Instagram ads are not really Wegmans. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Speak for yourself. I get a lot of cured meat commercials.
I get you. My Instagram ads are majority soccer workout things, right? So any soccer device or tool that can help you for your skills.
Really?
Yeah, I don't use any of these things, right? I don't. But because I'm looking at and liking soccer related things, that's the majority of them.
I don't get that. I legitimately get shoes that are easy to put on. I get a lot of these shoes that are slip-on, but they don't look slip-on.
Nice Velcro shoes. those Velcro Yeezys that we've been dying
for. These joints don't even look worth the beating. I legitimately get shoes that slip-on.
This heel is mad thick.
I feel like I'm walking on a cloud. Yeah.
So thank
my ankles stopped clicking. It's a lot of shit like that.
So yes, congratulations, John, who's I believe a DC United fan, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I'm John in DC. So
John, shouts to us.
Shouts to us
for doing a podcast you listen to and ruining the beginning of your child's life.
your child is gonna be poorly influenced.
I want to apologize now for the influence that we will 100% be.
Your daughter's just gonna be saying coño. Where did that come from?
Yo.
Also, shout to Matt Haney for this. So this came a couple weeks ago.
This is dope.
Yeah, this is the we're going to talk about Atlanta United in a little bit because that team is falling apart. You know,
Definitely just as positive as everybody wants to talk about.
They won MLS Cup and now they've chosen to just absolutely collapse. It's a third year syndrome. Like they're Atlanta United is the Mourinho of MLS, right? So we got a 2018 MLS Cup champion scarf from Matt Haney, fan of the show, who we met in Atlanta when we were in doing the World Cup comedy tour with Total Soccer Show. We have bumped into him in the All-Star store in the hotel that they had created the shop for, and they had Juventus jersey and MLS All-Star jersey. I remember we met him and he was super way more excited to meet Daryl and Taylor than
he was. I remember this. Hey, what's up, guys? Whoa!
Whoa, who are these guys?
Who's that behind you? Well, get out of the way, fat guy.
He was that close to saying exactly that, right? But no, great dude. We met him at MLS Cup as well. We were hanging out with him in the Gulch, and he was like, "Yo, I think before the team won, he might have said, yo, I'm going to send you a scarf if they win." I didn't even know if he said if they win. He was like, when they win, I'm going to send you a scarf.
Yeah, he was a little bit like, yo, just to get out of the way of talking to you guys because I want to talk more.
But great dude. Thank you. He sent a card and it says, cool again. He said, here's a new Atlanta United scarf to help keep the studio the gulliest. Hope to see you at a game or two this year. No doubt, man.
That's dope.
We will be back in Atlanta.
Right? Oh, we're coming to Atlanta.
It'll be fun. We got something planned soon. So, okay. Let's get to soccer. Let's get to the show and talk about a couple things. Do you want to start with the championship? That was a pretty big... I think we should start with that.
Yeah, what happened?
With Grealish. Yeah. Grealish, he sounds like a Harry Potter character, right? This is a Game of Thrones.
You are waving a twig at me when you say it, so it makes sense.
But it's very, just the name. You know, sometimes these English names, they feel his name feels like an ad for the last season of Game of Thrones. You know what I mean?
It's like if you wrote his name, and you submitted that script, someone would be like, it's a little racist. Yeah. It's a little discriminatory.
It's a little too, I mean, really.
Yeah, I know. Jesus, right on. The nose.
Yeah. Jack Grealish plays for Aston Villa in the championship. They had a match against Birmingham City. And they're the reason we normally do not talk about the championship, unless it's Jack Harrison.
Bodying
dudes. It's how happy I feel whenever I see Jack Harrison embarrass some of these championship fools.
It's like, dude, we bird them.
Yeah. Leeds, I believe, is in second or third in the championship. I think they're in second right
Marcelo
now.
Marcelo Bielsa led Leeds.
Dude, Jack Harrison is going to be in the Premier League.
Bielsa is going to manage Jack Harrison.
My hope is that he stays with the team. Because he's getting real minutes.
Yeah, he's starting to get a lot more minutes now. I watched the game, I believe they had against Norwich. Shouts to Toby, huge Norwich fan. And there's a Cuban on there who's a center forward. We coming for everybody. Aquí viene lo cubano. Se murió Fidel. And dude, he didn't look great. He didn't look great in that game. And they subbed him out at the half, which wasn't good. So it's nice to see him actually get... minutes again.
Yeah, I don't think he has the full trust. He's earning it though. He's being Jonathan Lewis right now. Ooh, you know what I mean?
You don't want to get Lewis.
You don't want to get Lewis. But so we're talking about Jack Grealish because there was a fan during this game, which is a derby. It's a very intense, intense rivalry at that. And a fan just ran onto the pitch, in the middle of the game, and punched Jack Grealish.
Actually, he missed. He forearmed.
Oh, yeah. But he caught, yeah. I mean, he didn't connect, fully.
Thank God.
No, he was, like, the Serge Ibaka fight with, I forgot who's the other dude he fought.
Chris
something, right? Something Chris.
No, last name is Chris with two S's.
Yeah. And Ibaka swung and missed, but Chris had, connected.
Yeah.
But this was, I mean, obviously, a fight between two players is incredibly different than a fight with a fan running on the pitch.
Although it was pretty impressive, Grealish went down. I was like, "Come on, give that guy a record." Wait a minute, it's a civilian. You know, he thought like,
"Hey, you're not wearing the right clothes for the game." Yeah,
whoa. Give that guy a record. Yo, arrest that man.
Yeah, look, and obviously everyone, everybody's unequivocally condemning this kind of stuff. But
I'm sure there's one. Person out there were like, well, I mean, come on, right?
But there were some fans that were cheering it on when the guy was taken off the pitch by the stewards. But right, how crazy was it? You saw all the Villa players circling this dude. Like, yo, if there weren't a couple stewards there, it would have been.
I would have felt bad, but that steward,
yo,
should not have got. He should have pushed the dude. Not tackled them. Should have pushed the dude into the players. That dude should have gotten cleated the F up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not, you need that. Banning him for life is one thing, sure. And maybe it's smart. Maybe now that he can't sue the players or whatever. But a lesson should have been taught right in that moment. That's the first and last time a fan runs onto the field.
Yeah. So,
bruh, you're taking the force of some really big quads whipping at your face.
Yeah, those are much thicker hammies.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, I would have unleashed on the guy.
Yeah, I mean, how?
And people were like, "Yo, props to the players for the composure." Composure? You dude just got punched in the face.
Yeah,
I composure look- time done. We could close that book. That, put was, that, off to the
that
side.
Was pre-punch. Yeah, composure. Yeah, yeah.
But no, composure until the punch, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, the clock says it's gully o'clock.
No, just crazy. And I think the reason I wanted to talk about this is just because of the. I think there's still that arrogance that England does soccer the right way.
Right.
And it's like there's so many examples.
Or people are like, oh, Argentinians, they're monsters.
Exactly, right? They look down on everyone else, but there's still so many examples of really, really terrible fan behavior.
Remember the Everton fan who got his face entirely slashed up?
A couple
weeks ago?
Yeah, this was during, a Carabao Cup match.
Yeah, I mean... There's a reason. Could you imagine having to explain that to someone? No, it's an energy drink.
It's a very important match. It's like, you know.
But it's like a bootleg one. It's named after a bull, but it's not the one you're thinking of. Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think that was Millwall.
Yeah, it was Millwall.
Yeah. Which Millwall won that game.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Everton lost again.
Everton took two L's.
I think
I got an L across his face.
Okay, well, that's not, we don't need to do that. Right? Feel bad for the guy. So what I've heard is that the suggestions of like what FA and, you know, is that they should, to stop this from happening is to either demote demote Birmingham or deduct points.
Points should 100% be deducted.
Played in front of closed door stadium. It's interesting, like how, because of one fan, how much should the rest of the fans be punished?
Something has to be
like an example has to be made so it doesn't happen again, right?
Yeah, and so it's got to be. It just got to be like a very like grievous. You know what I mean? It's got to be like big.
Yeah.
Whatever happens has to be like so bad that you're like, I'm not doing that. Like, you know,
I'm not, more punching Grealish. Even though I really want to punch him, I feel like it.
Let's be honest, dude's a little punchable. You know what I mean? But yo, for him to come back and score the winning goal,
exactly, man.
And someone was like, "Yo, Ryan could have started if he ran to the other end." Oh my God, I would have been like, "What now?"
the idea of getting demoted, usually that's like. A team paid off a referee or like some intense corruption.
Or like when Rangers were in administration, like their team folded essentially.
Yeah. So
like the people that took over the brand after that had to start from the fourth division.
Exactly. So it seems like a big decision coming up. I don't think it will go as far as them being brought down to League One. But
put them in the conference, yeah.
Something's gonna happen. So if you haven't seen the video, it's just insane.
By the way, Birmingham even came out and was like, "Yo, we're not cool with that." Like everyone is saying, that's not what to do. And I just think that an example has to be set.
Yeah. Let's talk.
Which also begs the question: what happens if that were to happen in MLS? You can't. You're going to UPSL. Like you can't
imagine. No, I mean it would. I could be like, oh, it's gonna be closed door. I'm like, well, that's not gonna affect a lot of teams, right? It's gonna be. I think some of the games are already.
Wow,
closed
was that
door.
A Chicago reference?
They're trying. They are trying, man.
And they look good. They look pretty fun.
Yeah.
I think what you could do is take away all their TAM, but no one knows exactly how much TAM. You're like, we're taking away $1 million worth of TAM. And everyone's like, ooh, wait, should we ooh to that? Is that a lie?
We're taking away your draft picks. What? Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh,
what
no.
What am I going to do?
Oh no, we feel so bad. Don Garber's like, why are you smiling? We just can't stop for some reason.
So let's talk about a couple things. We'll talk about a bunch of the games in a bit, but let's talk about LAFC and Portland, because a very fascinating thing happened in this game. We can talk about the game itself, right? They were LAFC. It was like this rivalry that nobody is talking about, right? Where like the clearly, if you don't, you remember last year, we were talking about the U.S. Open Cup game between the Timbers and LAFC. Adama Diomande. He had claimed that someone used a racial slur against him during the game. But he didn't say who it was. Timbers did not say that they were responsible or said it would happen. They basically said, like, we don't know what
MLS
happened.
MLS investigated, and they're like, we looked into it.
Yeah.
And it's been looked into.
Yeah. And then so,
official statement over.
That was basically what happened. So whether that was, whether people feel that was mishandled or not, that's up to you. We sort of feel like it kind of was. But regardless, it was like that weird thing where it was a U.S. Open Cup game. MLS didn't know whether it would, like, get involved or not, but they ended up doing so. So regardless, no details were, like, kind of shared. We don't know who said what. We don't know why it was accurate. We don't know if Diomande misheard something or not. Whatever. We have no idea. He didn't double down and say what happened. So whatever.
Nobody said anything.
So this is boiling, right? Because nothing was resolved.
Right.
And then they play this game. So clearly there's the thing I don't, this is what I don't like about the way soccer is covered here, where if something like that happened in any other sport, the rematch is talked about, right?
There are at least the anticipation to it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's all these articles come out, people on TV.
How are they going to react?
Reporters, okay. Yeah.
So
wouldn't it be brought up? You know, like, people will ask appropriate questions. You know what I mean?
And LAFC went in with that energy.
A little chip on their shoulder.
They went in.
Diomande was like, oh, I'm a score.
Yeah. And he did exactly that. And you know it was on his mind, because after he did score, he did the Black Power fist.
Yeah.
To the 3-2-5-2. And I'm just like, yo, shout to him. Yo, he's doing... That's how you get back, right?
Yeah, he's talking on the field.
Yeah, he's not saying anything. He's just,
he even put up
goals.
That thing like, hey, we all know what happened. Fine, I'll shut my mouth, but watch. Kind of what he said. I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
And the Timbers got rocked 4-1.
4-1.
So somebody.
He set up Vela's goal, too.
That's right.
So the dude was like, yo, I'm going to even assist out here. He did almost as much as I did at the NYCFC 24-hour game.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't put the highlights in MLSsoccer.com.
You know what? They should.
But
go check out their Instagram or check out their Twitter, because there's a slow motion of me celebrating a goal. And that's never happened to me in my life. But anyway, back to
most slow motion is just you at regular speed. Yeah.
Look at him taking that pizza out of the toaster oven.
The way he admires it. The class, the grace.
Clearly not hot enough for him.
So the game was incredibly entertaining, especially if you're an LAFC fan, getting 4 goals. They bodied them, right? Marc-Anthony Kaye scores the first goal. And good for him, right? He was, I think he had an ankle injury last year. He missed the last third of the season. He was very disappointed. And he also just got called up to the Canadian national team to play in I believe a Nations League game or something like that.
Shouts to him.
The main thing in this game was Diego Chara, right? He
flickered around the world.
Man, mainly in Diego Rossi's ear, right? He heard it, I think, louder than most.
Yeah.
So Diego Chara gets a yellow card for an obvious, just a terrible time. And this is
he did it in front of the ref.
No, but he got the first yellow card, which is a I mean, but this is why you have Diego Chara on your team. The dude is just a machine out there. He's looking for the ball. He doesn't see any human beings around it, right?
He could care less. He's like, all I know is that foot is in between me and that ball, but I'm still sliding towards that ball.
So Diego Chara gets that first yellow. So you would, especially for a guy like him, a very defensive-minded player, you would think he would be a bit more cautious, and he generally is, but he did.
I'm pretty sure most people would consider a flick of the ear sort of a playful thing.
Yes.
But it's the hand to the face.
Which is your ear is part of your face. In soccer rules, that's how it is.
That's how it is.
Some people say ear is part of your head. But nah.
Remember when Kaká did that thing where he grabbed the player's face pretending to mess with him and he got a red card?
Well, his face right there. You said the word face, so this
face is done. Boom, out.
But now you can't touch players' ears.
No, you can only touch skin that has hair on it. Like, you could rub another player's head. You could grab him by the back of the head.
Yeah.
Neck, back, front neck, back, back neck.
My neck,
good.
My back. Yeah.
No. No.
No. No. No. We're not doing that.
No. No. Yeah, you definitely get a red card for that.
Okay, and we have to tell the VAR ref to stop watching it.
Yeah, no, sir.
Sir, you need to get back to work.
Where did that saxophone player come from?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So yes. He flicked his ear, and in a very juvenile, back of the classroom. This is what I would imagine Alexis Guerreros was like in high school.
100%. This was the lightest form of bullying. This is the type of bullying that's still allowed. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't going to ruin a kid's future. You're just messing with him a little bit, you know? But he flicked the back of Diego Rossi's ear. But people are shading Rossi for falling on the floor.
Yes.
That's what you do.
It's funnier, the fact that he fell so dramatically.
Yes.
But he did do that. He did do that. But I would blame Diego Chara more, because not only did he do this, but he did this literally right in front of the referee.
In front of the referee.
The referee is literally looking at him.
The referee's like, did you just flick him in the ear?
He's like, you're going to make me do this, really? Like,
bruh, you know I don't want to do this.
Because this is incredibly challenging. Like, it's like, Diego, you know better.
Right? How Diego on Diego crime, okay?
We don't need that, okay?
We're trying to stop it.
We're going to give Trump another talking point.
Right? Valeri's waiting right there. So many Diegos in this game.
Really absurd. I mean, I've never seen this in, I've never seen a flick of the ear. I mean,
it's happened before. We've seen it, but I've never seen they get a red card. I've never seen it be called.
In MLS, especially in the age of VAR.
Yeah.
This is, the goosing.
Yeah.
The ear flicking.
Goosing, I'm glad we're getting out of the game.
It's difficult to continue to do these things because, there's an eye watching every game.
Yeah. This is, it's tough.
Yeah.
This is tough to watch because you're just like, this has nothing to do with the game. This is a really dumb reason for Portland to go down a guy.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. And obviously the game was already, they were already like having a tough time, but losing your best defensive player. I wouldn't even say arguably. You're losing your best defensive player. It's going to give you, you're going to have a pretty tough time going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
So LAFC did their thing, 4-1, and they're looking like, I would say, probably the best team in the league right now after two games. I mean, I don't know. It's not too crazy to say. Or at the very least, Carlos Vela is looking like the MVP. The potential MVP.
It's not bad for someone who just wants to get back to watching basketball.
For him, he's playing. He's very good at his least favorite sport. So, let's talk real quick about DC United, because they were in they played NYCFC in a fairly dull game, 0-0. This was at a baseball stadium, and we had a shutout. We had a pitcher's duel, basically. Both goalkeepers were incredible. Sean Johnson and Bill Hamid just stood on their heads. They made both incredible saves. It was incredibly impressive. Yeah, but it's not the same as a 0-0 game. It's not the same as a pitcher's duel, a baseball game that it goes into the ninth 0-0 or something like that. It's like there's some tension with the baseball game because every single pitch feels like you want them to hold on to the shutout.
It's a duel.
Yeah.
That's not, you don't want that in soccer.
In soccer, it is the complete out. It's just a fairly dull game with a couple cool saves.
Yeah, that's not, it's not fun for anybody.
Yeah.
Especially if it's still drizzling a little bit in the stands. I got to the game late. I got to the game after the first half.
Yeah.
And I feel like I didn't really miss much.
You did not. You missed a couple amazing saves from Sean Johnson, but that's about it. The reason we're talking about this game in particular is because there was an issue with Flow Sports. Remember we talked about Flow Sports last week?
Yeah.
The premier menstruation calendar app for female athletes.
Which, by the way, how dope is that? That the girl from the Progressive commercial owns her own Which, by the way, I think she'd do a better job of running one.
But no, apparently they were so a lot of the teams are moving away from regular broadcasters to go to streaming only.
This is it. Wave of the future.
Wave of the future. And the future is buffering.
Yeah, the future is a spinning beach ball.
So Flow Sports, during their first game for DC United that they're broadcasting locally, because last week's game was on ESPN.
Right.
They have technical issues. This is not the time to have technical issues.
But see, I didn't watch this on Flow, so I don't know, and I missed all of this conversation. But what exactly happened? So the stream just went down. I know they didn't send anybody, so it was just the game. Like, they didn't really send any, like, color commentators or anything.
No, I don't think so. Right. Yeah. I don't know if they have like a. You mean sent to New York?
Yeah. People were complaining. I saw that. People were complaining about that on Twitter. They didn't send somebody 3 hours up 95.
It's a fairly short commute.
Yeah. That's not a hard one to do. Also, you could have hired us. You know how easy that would have been?
Yeah. We live here.
Buddy. And here's the thing. Like, I know some people are like, yo, if you're going to talk about soccer during a game, you want some experience. I just scored 2 goals and an assist. 2 of those things were while I ate a sandwich. So who's better to talk about the game?
Exactly. That's our resume right there. Yeah,
bruh.
It's weird because the Flow Sports anchors will probably have to be pro DC United or speak positively about DC United.
But you forget that if we get paid, we will be pro whatever, whoever pays us. We're very open about this.
So it would be, they didn't have announcers, but they also didn't have a stream working, right? Right, so
the stream wasn't working, so the announcers wouldn't have helped.
We're not bringing the quality down.
No. If anything, you would have been able to hear her voice and just not watch the game. Which at the end of the day, if it's a 0-0, that's probably a win-win.
So unfortunate, right? I hope that Flow Sports sorts this out. DC United put out a statement, so did Flow Sports. But this is not the thing you want to see, especially when more and more teams are going into this model.
Flow Sports just put up a picture of a guy holding a lot of wires and it says technical difficulties.
A dog biting on a cable on the, like with a plug unplugged or whatever. What was the other thing I wanted to talk about? I just wanted to mention Minnesota United winning 2 games on the road.
That's double the amount of games they won on the road last year, ever in their history until this year.
So they win against San Jose, right? Is San Jose the Minnesota United of MLS now, or is San Jose San Jose of 2018? Right?
I think San Jose has not stopped being San Jose.
Well, like you would with Pelado Almeida, right? We're all excited. I thought LA Galaxy and San Jose were gonna like immediately kind of like right the ship and everything's gonna be fine. But San
Jose has not happened.
Yeah, San Jose still looks like they're having a tough time.
Even Wondolowski shot the ball wide. I'm like, you're not playing Belgium, bro.
don't keep reliving that moment. But some fans were a little surprised at Adrian Heath's comments after the game, because they a lot of people are when Minnesota is doing well, they're a little bit like they basically just put it on him and say, like, why weren't you doing this last year? And you can tell he's clearly annoyed. Remember, we saw him at MLS Draft. We were talking to somebody from Minnesota United, and he was like, no, get over here. Stop talking to
him. Yeah, yeah. No.
No, enough of that.
They're like, you're working. Get over here.
So, but you can tell he was, like, agitated but just by the question, because I'm sure he's tired of...
But the thing was, he's like, it's not like I know anymore. I've always known this.
Yeah,
but... You just ain't giving me the right ingredients to cook a good meal.
Yeah, he basically said, like, look, no, we just needed the players. We just... And that's all it was. And it's a little... I guess it's a little bit of... weird to hear that, because you're also just like totally shitting on the players you had last year. My players last year were trash.
Yeah, you saw that.
I was talking to the board and I was like, yo, why are you giving me all these trash players? Yeah.
You saw how bad we were. That's them playing better than they could on their own.
The rest of the staff is like, Adrian, can you just not have this conversation in the locker room with the players here?
Also, why are you pointing at the players you're talking about? It's really rude.
We could use a little discretion at this moment.
Be a bit more subtle though. You know? know.
So he's just like an angry, agitated man. He's just like, so
he almost used their government. He almost started naming them. Go ahead, write this down.
He's just like I like his attitude a little bit. I don't know how his connection with the fan base per se, but it is you can tell he's just like he's on. This might be his last year if they don't do well, if they don't make the playoffs. And yeah. I did mention before the season started, I said, I think Minnesota might actually make the playoffs this year. I had a good feeling.
Saying that.
You see, yeah, Aiko Parra there, and just having a stronger defensive core feels good. All right.
Feels good.
So we're going to wrap up this segment and we're going to come back with Jillian Sakovic and Susanna Collins. And we'll be talking about Atlanta United, the you know, DeBoer.
Because Jillian works there, not just because that's our favorite team because we have a scarf out here.
No, we have to ask her about, yeah. You know, the Frankie Gates.
Yeah, FDB.
And how they all feel about
this. So a couple Frank out already.
So we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, before we get to our interview with Susanna and Jillian, who are standing sitting right next to us, we want to mention who's sponsoring the show today. It's us.
It's all of us
together. Gully Squad. Make sure you join Gully Squad if you want to be a part of that super secret Facebook group that
may or may not exist.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
I mean, maybe I post, maybe I don't. Maybe funny stuff happens and then you're missing it.
Also, if you want to, for a bunch of fun stuff, you want to play us in FIFA. Also, if we're going to be giving away a little welcome gift to all the Gully Squad members.
We got a Gully Squad gift coming out. So you want that, you got to join.
You got to join before the end of the month. So make sure you do that. Go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. You can support the show. You can ask questions. You can have, ask questions to Susanna and Jillian. Who knows,
please,
right?
Ask us some questions.
We'll answer.
But you got to be in Gully Squad to do that. So go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. Hit join. Give us as much as you possibly can. Forget about your kids' braces. You know what I mean? They don't need them.
They don't need them.
Move to England. You know what I mean? That'd be all right. But honestly, thank you for all the people who've joined. And if you want to join, go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. You guys are the best.
Yeah, baby, we're back! We are back. Excited.
Yeah.
Take two.
Yeah, no, we didn't do this beforehand.
My mic was on, I swear.
Yes, it was.
The gang is back together.
Look at us.
Oh, we're doing it. God. Look at that.
And they brought us snacks. This is beautiful. And a cutting board, which is a little fancy.
That was Jillian.
Yes.
Yeah. She's actually had things to do since 8. She hosted a panel. She had this week in MLS. I had nothing to do until we got here. So the least I can do is bring this. You
She's
guys
so
rolled
thoughtful.
Out the food last time and that had me thinking
yes,
that I was
did.
Hungry. So I need to
get in
there.
Let it go to waste.
I
get
guess
in
you,
there.
You picked up some of that Southern hospitality.
Yes. They've trained me to be a little bit nicer in Atlanta.
Okay. Well, were you not nice prior to that?
You can always be nicer, right? She's a New Yorker.
Yeah.
She's not nice. Just,
yeah,
you know,
but,
just
I mean, room for improvement.
For New Yorkers.
I prefer to be as forward as possible. When I'm in the South, I find out that's not how they like to do things.
They smile like this.
I can't necessarily imagine Jillian Sakovic like bumping into someone in New York being like, hey, I'm walking in here.
I would love
you
to
You should
see,
see
that.
Me before I eat this.
If I haven't had my cheese, I'm a different woman.
I've seen Jill hangry.
Hangry Jill.
Hangry Jill is a different Jill.
Yeah, I'm the same way, bruh.
Aren't we all?
If I ain't got my coffee, everyone's getting it.
I'm not that way at all. I can be hungry for
what happened to your voice all of a sudden?
I don't know what happened to my voice.
Oh, it was all like an echo.
That explains why you stay so slim, really.
Because I hate food.
Yeah. He's anti-food.
And I hate myself.
I love food and hate myself, so it all works out. So
self-love, guys.
Yeah. Let's welcome our
a little too much in ice
our
ball.
Guest right, to the show. Welcome our guest to the show of Major League Soccer. Both of you work for Major League Soccer.
Yes.
We were just joking before you guys got here. You guys have like 18 jobs. Yeah. You have too many jobs.
Save one for us.
Believe me, that's not the goal. Yeah. You guys know. Yeah. We're tired.
Also, we're well aware that none of the folks that have hired you would ever consider hiring us.
You never know.
So
never
just
say never. Never say never, Alexis.
Careful what you wish for. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
So introduce our guest, Alexis.
Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, and if you are, pull over. Put that joint on emergency. Emergency seat. Lights. Put that thing on lockdown.
Put your jewel down.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Because you need both your hands free so you can put your hands together for the two, the only, Susanna Collins and Jillian Sacraments, everybody.
Welcome back. So last year we had brunch.
We need a name for you guys. We're the Cooligans.
So Rox Fontaine, who is one of the NYC SC fans, he came up with Run JSC.
Yeah. Run JSC.
And I kind of dig it. Okay. I don't know. I feel like it fits.
Yeah.
Minus the C. We just don't have the C.
I know. Well, I'm
but C. But I guess it. You can share the S, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Susanna and Sacraments could be...
Exactly. Exactly. And then C,
and
Collins.
C is Collins. So it's sort of both.
The S is like the unifier.
It is. It's not a bad one.
Okay. And it could be a nice little logo with the S's intertwined.
But we're open to suggestions.
Yeah.
What's the Rooney Acosta one? I can never say
Lucharoo.
It.
Lucharoo.
Lucharoo. So I would love something along those lines, even though I heard people being like, it has to end. I was like, even though it's hard to say, I like that one.
What about Suzillion?
Suzillion?
Suzakovitz.
Suzillion.
Suzakovitz. Suzakovitz sounds like a guy who only scores with headers. You know what I mean? Suzakovitz got no skill with his foot whatsoever.
Big old center back.
Just a big Baltic.
It's perfect.
Could be an ancestor.
True.
Seriously.
So how have you guys been since the last time you were on the show, right?
You guys are everywhere.
I know Jillian has been traveling a whole bunch of you. Any particular things that come to mind since, I think the last time you were here was around, I think, April or May, if I remember correctly.
So it's been about a year, and if it gives you any indication how much we've been traveling, we both are sharing our first Delta One upgrades as of late.
Okay. Platinum status, baby!
We've talked about that a lot this week.
Yes.
I see my scale going, and it's like only 48 billion points until you get to silver. And I'm like,
we were each other's biggest cheerleaders in this endeavor, like getting that platinum
screenshotting
status.
Screenshotting our Delta.
Like every
really
flight,
sad.
It was
like, we're almost there.
But
you guys are boarding
exciting.
First. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But
I just wear an army outfit, having never been in the armed forces.
Oh, wow.
Hey, let's see.
No,
stolen valor, bro?
Stolen valor, bro. But I'm only going to my seat. You know what I mean?
Oh, boy.
No comment from Susanovitz.
I'll let the Susanna go first with what she's been up to, because...
Yeah, fill us in.
Man, I mean, it's just been since I've been pretty much all over the country. Mm-hmm. The cool thing and also the exhausting part of my job is that I wear many hats at MLS. So during the playoffs, I was basically on the road the entire time serving as an on-field reporter. So I was doing like more of the sideline stuff. But then I've been hosting the BTW show that Heineken is back on board for this season, which is very cool. And that's more of like the off-the-field kind of stories, fun featurey pieces with I think we talked about my Schweinsteiger episode last time.
Old-fashioned show.
Exactly. So all of that. And then on top of that, all the studio content that we're doing. So MLS has these brand new sparkly studios.
That's right.
And we've been doing big recap shows at the end of the weekend. So it's, you know, you're, like I said, you're just wearing a ton of hats.
I have a particular question of something that when FC Cincinnati during the draft, their expansion draft, you had a great moment that I made a fun little clip of because you were speaking. I forgot his name, but the president of the team.
Yes.
And you went to you were congratulating him or something. You sort of raised your hand and he gave you the weirdest.
He thought it was a high five.
Yeah.
It was like one of these hands. And I do like. By my own fault, like I talk with my hands quite a bit, and I kind of like did one of these, and I think he thought that I was going for the high five, but I wasn't. And then I kind of saw him go in for the high five, and I didn't want to make him feel bad.
So
then I sort of compensated, and then the whole thing just looked like hideously awkward. And I was like, "Well, it's live. What can you do?" And then Christian
was like, "I'll show you what we could do."
I mean, like, oh, I missed this.
Listen,
I need to see it.
Like the eagle eyes of this one was just like, "You're like, oh, that's chippable."
No, you know, someone's watching though when they catch something like that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we offer. But I think back to the league, we're like, watching you. Any little silly thing you do,
we need you.
We're going to put a magnifying glass on it. Trust me.
We have a skill. We're not sure if it's necessary.
Listen,
that's the skill we provide.
Keeps us honest. Yeah. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at?
It
was pretty funny.
I still can't wait to watch it.
as soon as the mics are off, we'll show you. But you've also, now you're on extra time.
Yep.
which is different for a lot of people because they have like this like group of like interchanging four or five folks.
Yeah.
And now it's like all different. You're on all Thursday episodes?
Thursday episodes. Yeah. So that's going to be my jam. And you know, it's a little bit intimidating walking into the extra time meetings because these are guys that have been doing this for years.
Yeah,
and
for
it's
years.
And it's a very, you know, they're a very tight knit group. And, you know, let's be honest, they love to just nerd out yeah. on MLS, like big time.
And I'm going to say this, it needed some female energy.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree. So that's when they approached me about coming on the show, I was
obviously,
like...
Obviously, they were nervous than I used to talking to girls.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And, you know, I'm a pretty...
By the way, that is not even a joke. If you've ever heard the show, I don't even think they know what a woman looks like. If you ask them to draw it, one of them would draw with, you know, a Star Trek logo first. And then build out from there, you know?
Oh, man. Have you guys, like, been hiding in the studio at 11 o'clock at night when we're...
You're like, Matt, you just drew a cat with a bikini on.
Oh. Why are you drawing 7 of 9?
This is the thing. You're not far off. I definitely felt there was a need for a female voice. But it's also really cool because, you know, Jill and will attest to this. We so often are the ones asking the questions. And for me, this was such a cool opportunity to actually be a talking head and serve as an analyst. Because let's be honest, I have watched a ton of soccer. Yes. In the last
and
4 years.
And you have something to say
and
about
I
it.
And I do have something to say. So to be given a platform to give opinions and it's give great. Some analysis, I think it's a really cool thing. And I'm super grateful to those guys for kind of letting me in their club. We did our first episode last week. It was so much fun. And I was a little bit nervous. I'm like, am I going to be able to hold my own with these guys? And then I got in there and I was like, I got this.
Not only did you hold your own, I'll give you a compliment. For the first time in extra time history, someone didn't just meander around the point. You were asked a question, and then I heard
today.
You answer it. I was like, wait a minute. This isn't going to take 12 minutes of arguing? Or asking rhetorical questions? Susanna just answered it?
Well, gosh, that is the bane of our existence. Like, we ask the questions and we're like, will you get to the point, please?
So you're now, holding the mic just like, how much longer?
Now that the situation has been flipped, I'm like, I will give you my direct answer.
Yeah, like, I've
I'm
been
ready.
Waiting a long time for that.
I have.
And I know what it's like when someone has a really long answer.
Yeah, 100%.
But those guys are great,
they're
honestly.
Great.
They're a lot
they're
of fun.
Best.
And they're so nice to us. And they can make fun of themselves and
totally.
They have a good time. And their wealth of knowledge is definitely something that I know helped me when I first started.
I listened to their podcast. I mean, that's how I ingest a ton of my MLS knowledge.
Takes up the whole ride to JFK pretty much.
Literally does.
Not anymore. Now it's just an hour, though.
I'm actually not used to hearing the word, you know, soccer analyst and wealth in the same sentence.
So it's really just America.
We're getting there.
And Jillian, you've got so many other things going on. Last year, you joined Atlanta United.
Yes.
And so far this year, it has not started out the same way.
You're the starting striker. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Replacing Al Marone.
Yeah, you're also the key player, so you got a lot to do now.
Me, pity. But, second year back, and we start for week 3. We'll start for their St. Patrick's Day game this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to it. And it's going to be really exciting, and I think we're going to get that first win.
You think so?
I am pretty positive.
You better hope so.
So let's at least talk about, I know you've been watching the Champions League games, and those that first Champions League game was obviously kind of a shock to a lot of people.
Yep.
And then, but they came back.
They bounced back.
But then a loss in the next round. It's been interesting because the season hadn't started yet, the MLS season, yet. You know, Atlanta United fans are just like, you know, after the first loss, it's like, all right, who's his coach? What are we doing? Bring Tata back right now.
Yeah. What's up with this 3-4-3? People are getting...
Yes,
people are trying to take the threes and the fours out of everything.
Yep. They never want to hear about a 3 or 4 ever again.
If it's 3:43 and you see what time is it, they'll say it's 2 minutes to 3:45. Don't even want to say it.
So what has been your response, especially since the draw against Cincinnati? What has been your response and your feeling to this shock and of the response from Atlanta United fans to Frank DeBoer?
I think, and like, she's looking at me like,
I wonder what you're going to say.
What are you going to say?
Because this is the first time, really, we've ever had to defend the team. It was just nonstop flying soccer last year. And that's what Tata was brought in for, right? Like, attractive, fast, scoring soccer. And we are going to get there. And it was on Tuesday that Frank said, listen, I didn't mean spoiled.
Yeah.
Spoiled. And and when you heard him say it in the post-game press conference, you saw what he meant. He meant more like, hey, you guys aren't really used to losing.
Yes.
He didn't mean you are spoiled brats who deserve to lose.
Right.
You know? So, and it also, I know my first few months in Atlanta, I was nervous. It's an intimidating fan base. It's an intimidating team. You're working with Dan and Kevin, the two best in the biz, even though they never really intimidated me.
Shouts to Dan.
But he's in a brand new city. So he gets up there and he just has to kind of say it in his second, third, fourth language. I don't know what it is with him with English. And you got to give the guy a break. It's a long MLS season. We're going to get there. Just have faith. And I think we could be seeing things switched up, maybe not for CCL, but maybe at least for MLS this weekend.
Yeah, that's that's the thing, gauging how angry, you know, I think this is how other MLS fans, they see Atlanta United fans imploding and they're like, yes, they're like, this is beautiful, right? Because they sort of felt.
It is March, people. I know.
Don't you want to just sometimes scream that? Also, they don't have the best Newcastle player on their team. The guy who's the best player on Newcastle right now is no longer on their squad. I think Tata would have had some struggles as well. Maybe not as bad. Maybe would have had it been a little different, but he also would have had to make some changes.
And
as
give
well.
Pity some time too. Like, they're all figuring it out. They're going to get there, but it's a long MLS season. And I don't think in any way our Atlanta fans are spoiled. I think, though, that this is new, having a rough start, but they're also playing an insane amount of.
They also lost 4-0 to Houston the first
amount
game last
of games.
Year.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And they had their struggles in season one. They still made the playoffs, which was amazing, but it is an MLS season. Like, it anything can happen. Think about Seattle when they won.
Much soccer.
Worst team in the league in July. They get this guy, Nico Ladero at the time. They get rid of Ziggy Schmidt. Then they win MLS Cup. Like, you cannot take what's happening in March and think that it's going to mean anything around the playoffs.
All right.
There's a lot.
So that's me sticking up for Frank, but also saying hey to my hey to the fans out there. Don't be mad at me.
What's up, guys? We love you. Definitely not spoiled.
It's like, how high should the expectation be to do well in CCL? Because I think I think MLS fans in general thought Atlanta United would probably have good old time.
Can I just say something about CCL?
Go for it.
It's always going to be so hard for MLS teams to succeed.
It's the time
in
of
this.
Year.
It's a time of year. It's impossible. And as we were just talking about, a team like Atlanta who loses their head coach, who loses their best player, it's not magically going to come together. You don't just wave a wand and you have the exact same product that you have last year.
No.
You also have had an offseason to deal with. You have guys getting back to fitness. These are teams, you know, think about like Liga MX. These guys have been playing together they've got like weeks and weeks of soccer under their belt. It's just not, for me, CCL has never been an even playing field for MLS teams.
Yeah.
And therefore it's for them to do what we saw Toronto do last, getting to the final is insane.
Yeah.
But then you also see sort of the repercussions of that for them in
MLS.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost, you know, I don't want to say it's a choice, but it's almost like you sort of have to, it's this fine line that I don't think anybody has really figured out how to balance yet.
Yeah.
And
well, it's a preseason
it's really difficult
for one of the teams.
Yes,
exactly.
That's really tough.
And had they had their exact same team from last year with Tata, maybe all the pieces would be in place to grind it out. Last week, they had 3 games in 7 days, which included a flight to and from Mexico.
Yeah.
So, like, cut them a little bit of a break. I think, to Susanna's point, it is going to be a little bit of a choice. We'll see if they can kind of dig themselves out of the CCL hole in the second leg. But all is not lost. I know Atlanta United, a big thing for them, is doing well in Champions League, but all is not lost should this not work out how they want to. They've all had, like, 2 months together. Frank got there in the middle of January, and we are... It's not even 2 months.
Everybody brings up the travel, and I have a solution.
Tell me.
Because when I was a kid, I traveled a lot, sometimes to South America, and here's what my mother would do: a little Benadryl, my chocolate milk. You know what I mean? We would sleep. Okay?
Might I also recommend a Delta
and don't
One?
Tell them.
A Delta One upgrade,
where
the seats turn into beds magically, and they give you a down blanket, and you can just fall asleep like
and
a little
headphones.
Baby. Glorious.
You're just letting me cake is what you're saying. Right now. But that's what I said. Why can't we just like drug them so they sleep on the plane?
It's like animals, really.
Not far off.
Go to bed, Petey.
Yeah. Have this risotto. There's something crunchy in here. No, there isn't. That is just risotto.
I heard you guys talking about Sporting KC.
Yes, we
earlier,
did.
And I do think that if there is one team that I have faith in to get through the quarterfinals is Sporting Kansas City. I think it was big for them to get the goal on the road, and Peter Vermes is such a tactician.
He's amazing.
He's so smart, and I have a lot of faith that they will be able to get a very favorable result. They're the one team that I really see.
They seem like they're
emerging.
Also built specifically to play some of these teams.
Yes,
they have like toughness and a strength and speed at almost every level. Mm-hmm. So there's like not one position where I look at them and go, even Nemeth, who I've always wondered, could he be a striker?
He's thriving.
He's thriving
in that system. Yeah. And everybody got after Peter Vermes. Why didn't you go after the number nine in the offseason? You need that big name DP striker.
He's cultivating that in Kansas City.
Well, they got Gideon Zalalem.
Zalalem.
So
big Arsenal fan. I remember when I saw him in the preseason tournament in Malaysia. He was just pinging balls.
You went to Malaysia?
I was there. I wasn't allowed to go.
He took Benadryl and then went to Malaysia.
I went to Malaysia. Turns out I took it too early, got on the wrong plane.
Sounds like the plot to like Hangover 4. Yeah.
I missed the vacation with my wife, but I got to see 16-year-old Gideon Zalalem. But I was just like amazed. I looked him up, and when I saw that he was American, I was like, I nearly fell off my computer.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yay.
So the fact that he's back, had a bit of a struggle. How do you guys think he's going to do it? You guys know Peter Vermes a little bit better than we do. Do you think he's going to get him going quickly? He's going to make him go through the system a bit? What do you think is going to happen next for someone like Gideon Zalalem?
Honestly, I think Peter Vermes can be a very intimidating guy. And you've just like through different players past and present, you either respond well to him or you don't, because he puts a lot of pressure on his players. And so like for a guy like Christian Nemeth, he basically said like, here, this is your chance, man. Like, you perform or it's not going to work out. And he has stepped up and risen to the occasion.
Yeah.
So I think that he's more of like a tough love kind of manager. He's not going to coddle you. So it totally depends on his willingness to sort of adhere to the Peter Vermes way of coaching.
Jersey?
I think he is.
Exactly.
Like, once you know that about him, it just makes a ton of sense.
I mean, but he also does an incredible job of inspiring his guys. Players want to do well for him, not so much out of fear, but maybe just a little bit out of fear.
I just want to hear Dad say he loves me. Yeah.
It's that toughest teacher syndrome.
Totally.
You know, your toughest teacher was your favorite by the end of high school.
Yep. Well,
because you're always
better.
Fighting for their, you know, validation or their.
Not
their
for
love.
Me. I hated my tough teachers.
Did you?
Spent a lot of time crying at home, to be honest.
You also. So worked hard. You were like an honor
student. Look at you now.
My toughest teacher was the one who was like, I'm not going to call the cops this time. But one more time, Alexis.
So, Gillian, we were talking about traveling. And so you did a couple pieces, and you were traveling to internationally.
Yeah.
And I follow you on Instagram, and I'm like, and I would see you were on all these different beaches playing soccer and talking to people. And I'm like, all right, what's she doing? Her life is a little too nice.
No, it was great. So we really pushed for it the last few years. We've done Beyond the Stands. First year we featured the supporters and like what they do when they are not in the stands, obviously.
Yeah, it was like a Habitat for Humanity and stuff.
Really cool
community
stuff.
Outreach.
Yeah. Building homes for homeless people, revamping foster care, visitation centers, really cool stuff. Then the last 2 years we've shifted it to the players. And some players do really amazing stuff in the off season, but it is so hard to capture it because until now our off season was so short between MLS Cup and preseason. There's like 6 weeks.
Right.
So by the time someone goes home and says hi to their family, celebrates a holiday, they don't have time for
us.
But we did get two really lovely guys who did have time for us. Albert Elise in Houston.
Okay.
That was in Honduras. And that was amazing. His dad drove us around for 2 days. He was basically our babysitter, and we saw everything that he did at the elementary school that he went to.
That's awesome.
These kids, so we're like, oh, they're donating a technology center, so I think something, you know, like this. It was just an empty room, and these kids hadn't had computers there since 2015. So you're talking about 10 and 12-year-old kids who have literally said, I've never typed on a keyboard before.
Wow.
And then you want them to graduate and get a job, but they need to know how to use a computer. So Albert said,
did they mainly have just like iPad 2s?
No, iPads.
Those
no
ones
iPads.
With like those big cushion cartoon things around them?
Believe it or not, no iPads around those parts either. But what was cool about Albert is, like, he went back there and he just brought a truck of computers, a printer, projector, all that stuff. And so then after the new year, Jonathan Mensa of Columbus let us crash his honeymoon.
Whoa.
In his native country of Ghana. He gets married and I say, oh, so this is like the week we can come. And he's like, no problem. And I'm like, then I kind of get to digging, you know, I'm like, hey, didn't you get married this weekend? And he was like, yeah, but there's no better way to celebrate. And his wife's like, it's true. And I'm like, are you guys saints?
Yeah. If my wife said that during our honeymoon, her teeth would have been perfectly tight together. I'm like, yeah, it's true.
Perfect. And those are all, Jonathan's will be coming out at the end of the month. And then Albert's will be coming out a few weeks
and
later.
And you're coming on This Week in MLS to promote the Jonathan Mensa episode, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep, be on in a couple weeks. So
all right.
I did a little bit of that. I'll keep doing those features for MLS, filling in on the studio and on the road. When I don't have an Atlanta United game.
I'm curious.
That's my year.
What was your experience like being like specifically Honduras? What was that like for you? I know I don't think you speak Spanish, unless I'm wrong.
Have you ever been to Honduras before?
No, I've never been to Central America before. I speak enough Spanish to get by, but definitely not to translate for Tata Martino or talk soccer. But we brought in a fantastic translator with us from Houston's PR team, this girl, Maricela, who was great. And she was wonderful. But it is a country that's going through a lot with the caravan was going on at that time and everything like that. So I was a little nervous to go because you hear about all of it. And then as soon as I got off the airport and I saw Albert and his big smiley dad, and he just looks at me, he goes, it's not dangerous here. And I'm like, was that written on my face somehow? Or maybe they see what we see in the news. Going to a country where...
Well, you were ducking and rolling behind cars as you were getting to them.
But it was so amazing to go into these, like, these schools that really have nothing, these neighborhoods that really have nothing, and the reception that we got from the people was fantastic, and I would go back in a heartbeat. It was so...
That's great.
It was such a lovely place with such nice people.
Yeah, I think people make the joke about, you know, MLS salaries, and you don't realize how much some of this money means to where they're coming from.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've heard that in the past, that, yes, we have motivated athletes, but for some of these guys that are changing their family's life, they're buying their family a vacation home and an apartment in a nice part of the city, and they are changing the school that they went to, they're a little bit more motivated because of what they can do with that with that salary that we might say, oh, it's not enough at times. But for some people, it's everything.
Yeah, I mean, even when I think of like my parents, and my mom still sends money back to my family in Dominican Republic because that it's basically what they survive on, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know why my mom didn't get an MLS contract, but maybe one
should.
Day.
Yeah. I mean,
she can go for duels, right?
Yeah,
for aerial battle.
She'll 2-foot you. I know that.
But it is, I think that it's a good point to highlight where it's more than just another athlete playing a game. It's like, or even an American athlete playing a game they don't have that same sense of like. Responsibility and urgency for the people back home.
Albert, Jonathan, they are like directly, and it's not like money that they put towards starting a foundation, then they ask for donations. Like their charities are not there yet. This is their paycheck that they are helping their own families out with, but then also like dozens, if not hundreds of kids with their own money.
Well, I love this. Amazing. I love it so much too, because these are stories that we wouldn't hear, you know?
Exactly.
And I think that to be able to shine a light on some of the incredible things that these guys are doing, it makes me cheer for them more. Mm-hmm. As players. And I think especially as we think about like growing our fan base and what we can do to attract more fans, it's telling these stories and showing that, you know, this matters to these guys. And I just think it's really cool that Jill has sort of championed this series and
it's
has
not
done
just
really well with it.
It's not just me. I had the idea, but obviously flying to Africa and places like that are very expensive endeavors. So it's all props really to the sponsor Wells Fargo and to MLS for being like, go. Because in this day and age, which budget cuts everywhere, it's hard to find a place that will get behind a project like this.
Yeah. Shouts to the plug too. You just out here plugging your sponsor on our show.
I love that.
You're gonna see Landon Donovan with a scarf that says my other team is Ghana.
Yeah.
They had me sold.
Wells Fargo. It's so cool to see, because like honestly, if I played on MLS and you wanted to follow me, it would be me handing out headshots at the high school I went to. Like, you're welcome for going to your school and making your school worth something.
No, that's Kalen Carr.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. have you heard of the movement?
Yeah. Kalen Carr's
have
like,
you
I'm going to.
Heard gonna, of the movement?
Kids, stay right there. I'm going to walk Caleb. To you in 120 frames per second.
But no, that I was doing another comedian's podcast. It's got Alex Barnett, great dude. He's he was asking me about the podcast and soccer. And like in the comedy world, other comedians are like, yo, what are you guys doing? It seems like a lot seems to be going on. And I find that the thing that is at least inspiring or motivating for me is that it does feel that the connection that I build, we were just talking about supporters groups. And talking about, you meet all these people that are so committed to the sport and committed to that growing the soccer in their community. Mm-hmm. And it's like that in itself is like, feels like, oh, I want to help in any way I can. I want to shine light.
And they deserve the light that like so rarely like some of these people get, you know. Yeah. So a lot of these people are doing stories we're going to have coming up this year. You'll see a lot of people are volunteering their time and like they deserve a spotlight, and I'm happy we're able to give it to them.
And how do we feel about the next couple of years, the 5-year plan of Major League Soccer, right? You guys are been with the league a while, a couple new teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You have to answer for the league now.
I'll let Susanna start that.
David Beckham statue that you got to interview.
Oh, heck yes.
To interview the statue? That's so dope.
I mean, better than the real thing, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
Maybe more personality.
I think the statue has a deeper voice.
The one time I actually did interview David Beckham was at the Miami announcement last year. And I kid you not, I don't remember a word that came out of my mouth because I was just so mesmerized.
You don't remember when you yelled, "I love you"?
I could have said anything. And like, I would, because I truly think I blacked out.
I did see him once and I yelled out, "Call me Smash Spice. I just want to be with you."
What'd he say? Yeah.
He winked.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Honestly.
So the fact that these new teams, Cincinnati's here, Nashville's coming, Miami, mm-hmm. What do you see as the future of Major League Soccer or just soccer in the sport? If you can give some kind of synopsis.
Soccer is everywhere. It's growing. No, it is. I mean, it's really, really exciting. And the coolest thing for me is having been to the announcement in Cincinnati, the announcement in Nashville. Like these are two cities that already have a crazy fan base in place. I mean, it's already there. And so this soccer culture is only going to grow.
The announcement of new teams always feels like, a gender reveal.
Yeah. Right?
They're always exciting.
Yeah. Right? No, it is. And there's so much energy behind it. And what's really cool is that, Nashville is a great sports town.
Yeah.
And they are very passionate. We've seen all the success that the Preds have had, the Titans, like people really rally around their sports teams. And so I think it's going to be exactly the same in Nashville. I love that it's going to be in that part of the country. Yeah. And I'm going to throw Cincinnati in there as well, because I think like what's going to happen is it's going to create these really kind of cool rivalries that with Atlanta and Miami and Florida and that sort of like Southwest region. Yeah. And it's only good for the game. It's only going to get more eyes on it. And that's a region in particular where, you know, at the collegiate level, it's been super successful, but they haven't had really, you know, the professional teams to cheer for. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think it's going to kind of put a lot of eyeballs, a lot of those like SEC country and like the college football people are going to be like, oh, the soccer thing's pretty cool.
Yeah, instead
let's
of, like,
hop on board.
I'll be like, go Nash. I don't know.
Yeah. Go Nash. But that's been one of the neat things, because this is gonna be my fourth season with the league. And so in that time, you know, I've been at pretty much every expansion announcement that we've done in that time. And so the more eyes on the sport, the better. And I've only seen, I mean, our numbers, like viewership is up every year. It's really, it's really exciting. Yeah. And you kind of, you know, in like a very small sort of insignificant way, it's like, oh, I feel like I'm kind of part of something. Well, I'm part of a movement. Sorry, Kaylin Carr, I just stole your
But I did want to, I just add, and maybe you can add to the answer you're about to give about you guys. I feel like you guys are now more, and maybe this is a sign of the popularity of the sport and the league, that I feel like you guys are becoming these celebrities, especially maybe regional, maybe more like.
Does it feel that way to you?
Delta One? Yeah.
But I just see Jillian and being in Atlanta.
Sure.
We're still on Southwest 83. That's how.
But if you're.
The other day, I got stopped going into the MLS party. They're like, who are you? And I was like,
that's a good sign.
And
though.
I was like,
you're somebody.
And
right?
I like, got nervous for a second. I was like, can
do I belong here?
You had an existential crisis?
I got stepped at this door.
Who am I?
No, but to your point, to Susanna's point about soccer in the Southeast, She's surprised I said it.
That was amazing.
When I first started, it was Decision Day 2015. Timbers were on the bubble of making the postseason. They go on to win MLS Cup that year. So I was spoiled, not to use the word, but I was, with what MLS and soccer was. I was like, I started at Providence Park. And then the next day I went up to Seattle, had a game there. And then it was Vancouver, Portland.
The Mecca.
Yeah, so I got that taste of the Pacific Northwest. So I think building up our regions, like Susanna was talking about, now soccer in the Southeast, and then we're going to have these little rivalries with Atlanta, Nashville, Orlando, that stuff, it's only going to make the sport grow and grow and grow, because it gives the people something that they already have to just cheer on for more. Right. And it's really exciting. And I think our 5-year plan makes me hope that I am here for another 5 years.
Yeah.
All right. Nashville's a lot like Atlanta too, where it's like a very transplant city right now. They have, I think they said it's 20,000 people a month that are moving to Nashville.
No one's from Atlanta in Atlanta. You got some people that are diehards, born and raised, but you get so many people that are new there and they're just looking for something to be a part of.
And that's what Atlanta United was for. Yeah. So hopefully Nashville.
Atlanta United.
SC is that.
So I had two.
Although, you know, they're a good fan base because they still love the team, even though they have that terrible, terrible badge. Oh, God.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Not a fan?
Alexis is very into aesthetics.
Oh, no. I am too.
I'm not as like obsessed with it. It's fine to me.
I actually didn't mind the one that they had previously.
It was the guitar strings.
Like, I thought it just like fit, you know, Music City, all of that.
This one looks like if you press it, like it'll tell you the best CrossFit gyms to go, you know?
Which also isn't such a bad thing.
So I had two other things I want to ask before we wrap up.
Yes.
So last year, I believe this happened after you were on the show, but you had done all female panel about soccer, right?
Mm-hmm. It was great.
And that was awesome.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask about that and what that sort of meant for you. Ugh. And also, maybe we can also talk about the lawsuit with the U.S. Women's National Team against U.S. Soccer, and just thoughts on that as well.
So the Women in Soccer Roundtable was a labor of love. It was something that I had tried to get off the table the year before.
For so long.
We got close and then kind of ran out of time. And honestly, we were very specific about the people that we wanted to get on the panel. So we were finally able to bring everybody together.
Yael Averbush
was on. Katie Witham.
Vera
from Atlanta. Danielle was not. But Kay Rollins from Orlando.
My bad.
Who tweeted at us. Kay Rollins. She was great.
Kay is a gem. And just honestly, like a table of rock star ladies that were there. And it was such a gratifying experience to hear about, you know, these are women that I respect. They're all doing very different things, but so passionate about soccer and so passionate about growing the game, and just kind of the solidarity of, you know, we exist in a very male dominated world, and the fact that all of us are kind of thriving and have gotten to a certain place and sharing those experiences and the challenges that we've had to face, it's so inspiring, and it continues to be inspiring. And the part that really, I mean, I get like choked up when I think about it, our dear friend, Katie Witham, who just had her first baby.
That's great.
Talking
and
about.
She's back on the sidelines this weekend.
Back on the sidelines this weekend.
Congrats.
Only a 2-week break for her.
But wow. she talked about the decision to tell her bosses that she was pregnant and how hard that was and how she was really terrified to tell people at Fox that she was pregnant because she was afraid it was going. And it's 2018. The fact that she was willing to go on camera and talk about that, those fears, I think opening up the door to that conversation is so important, because the men that I've talked to about that conversation, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's very eye opening. And so I think that the more that we can talk about these things and these issues that we face, the better. And so it was just such a lovely day. We all kind of walked away from that feeling so inspired by each other and wanting to talk about it more. It was like, I feel like we just scratched the surface of what we want to talk about. So I'm hopeful that we're going to do more of those and just kind of like continue to open people's eyes.
And I have to say, Susanna says, oh, we had a rock star panel. This was a rock star facilitator, because just the way that you handled them and the questions you dove into, it wasn't all about just being women. It was also celebrating just their awesome success.
Yeah.
You did such a good job.
Thank you,
with that.
Jill.
I think the toughest part of any time you do something like that is the balance between, aren't we great for having done what we've done, or because of we're women, or we're just all really good at what we do. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're women is this other sort of filter.
And not being apologetic about that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's why I love what you were able to do to back up what Jillian Zagrovich just said. What you were able to do is say, no, we're going to have a conversation with successful people.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the fact that we also had to be women while getting there.
Oh, thank you. Know what I mean? And to me, I think
what I love, what I love about that is, you know, I was raised by women, married woman. And sometimes I hear conversations my entire life and I'm like, why is that a problem? Just go do what you want. It's hard for me to sort of understand because I just go do whatever I want. You hear me. I say whatever I want. I do whatever I want. It's worked out sometimes.
It's worked out for you guys pretty well, doing whatever you want.
But like, I think it's sometimes like, you know, when we met a female soccer player when we were doing a commercial and we were like, dude, why'd you quit? Why'd you become a comedian? And she's like, I was making $50 a week in Mexico living with a family I never heard. I'm like, why is no one talking about that? And you give the idea to someone who's like, look, here's your playing career. If it doesn't work out, some people are like, man, maybe I'll go into marketing. Maybe I'll go do this. Why don't you go become an executive? Get in the front office.
Yeah.
Go do these other things. That go become a silent reporter. Oh, we don't get those jobs. Nah, you go get that job. Yeah. Go ahead and do what you want. And to me, watching that video was like, all right, look, these are people who are just like, nah, I'm going to go do what I'm supposed to go do.
Yep.
I'm not going to let somebody tell me what to do.
And you know that there's young girls watching, seeing that, and they're like, at least somebody's going to be inspired.
And that's what you hope for.
That was one of the most gratifying parts of it, too, was hearing from people on Twitter reaching out or on Instagram, young girls who are in high school or college and saying thank you for opening the doors to those conversations. Like, it was that. It was just meant so much to me.
It's like a little different for us because we had Ali Krieger on the show.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago.
She is awesome.
The greatest, funniest interview we've ever
really
had.
Really funny.
She was awesome.
She is the best.
I love her. I have such a girl crush on her.
When we talked about having her, interviewed her, and then we were going to put out the interview a couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
We had young girls tweeting at us like, hey, when are you going to put this damn Ali Krieger interview out?
They're like keeping you guys honest. Like, why aren't you editing this?
Yeah.
Where's Ali?
We want Ali. Interviews, we're trying to do one a week, and we're like, fine, we'll move it up. We've never had teenage girls tweet
us. Don't mess with teenage girls. Don't mess.
And all their AVIs are like Neptune footing. Somebody, I'm like, I don't want to mess with any of these defenders.
So, that's amazing.
So with that said, the lawsuit, which is obviously happened very recently, but I think it at least raises the point about equal pay, about the I think this is another kind of turning point for women's sports and maybe women's soccer in general, the women's national team, I think it's gone to court. They went that far so that they could get all the information, right? Because all we ever hear is the ratings are not as good, or it doesn't bring in as much revenue.
They don't bring in as much money as the men. It was right.
And it's not as apparently. I guess it's not as transparent as that. It's like we can't just believe that without actually seeing the sort of evidence in front of us. But as far as the case being brought, who knows if it actually goes to trial? Mm-hmm. But the fact that the case happening, what do you think?
And all the women banded together and put their names on it. That's really big.
Yeah. So what do you think it will do for the sport and for women's sports going forward?
I mean, this is a question that I asked Yael actually during our women's roundtable. And, you know, you just want your fair share. You know, you just want to be seen as equals. And so I mean, I will always stand with women. I will always fight for equality in every sense. And so they are certainly absolutely in the right to bring this case up. I wish I could like read through all the legal jargon and understand it. Cause as you say, like, I'm like, I
will get
some
my
of this
sister.
Stuff.
We were talking about it exactly. The other night when we were out.
I mean, it's very, very complicated
attorney
stuff,
sections.
But
she a lawyer. Okay.
Yes,
you're picking up your sister on our podcast. She's a good reader. You know what I mean?
She listens to a lot of true crime podcasts. So
she watches First 48 every night.
We were just all talking about it, the three of us, because we were out.
And my love for the U.S. women's national team is so high. You know, like, I want them to do well. I want them to go to Paris this year and just kick serious ass. But, like, can I say ass on this story? Okay, good.
That might be the lightest thing
we've
said.
Good. You just never know.
Yeah.
But I think as women, you're always... A win for them is a win for all of us.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I feel about it.
If it starts at the top with something like names and people like this, like just in walking here, there's that huge billboard of the two of them, that huge Nike billboard with the women's national team. If it starts with people like that, then it helps validate feelings that we might have at times with our own battles and our own struggles. And hey, that this is the U.S. So that's the beauty of our legal system, that they have the right to bring this forth. Yep. And for the information to be out there, and then the professionals will be the ones to make the final decision. But it's their right.
Yeah. I'm generally excited to see how this pans out and what we learn.
Yes.
Because when we were talking to Ali Krieger, we were talking to Yael, a big topic that comes up, especially for female athletes, is especially if they're successful, that it's not only about being good at soccer, but it's also like sponsorship, looking good, having to have all these other pressures.
You got
to
be an Instagram model as well if you want to make money. It's like there's so many different layers.
And I like that this is just about, you know, the work and soccer.
The product on the field.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's been darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And we referenced this before, but Carly Lloyd from Jersey was asked, do you think you should be paid as much as men? She's like, hell yeah, we win more. Like, to paraphrase it, but I'm like, Carly Lloyd, get it.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, duh.
All right. So I think we'll wrap there and we'll see where it goes. And maybe we'll do this again next year. We'll just have brunch at least once a year. Maybe
I love this.
Next year we have to get, then the following year you guys get.
Okay.
Just like this. Where could the fans follow you guys?
You can follow us on our social media channels. I'm Susanna Collins on Instagram and Twitter. And
Jillian Sakovitz at Instagram and Twitter.
And go to MLSsoccer.com for all your wonderful MLS related content. Jill and I are featured quite heavily.
That's right.
A great thing.
On Thursdays on Extra Time, look at all the Atlanta United stuff that Jillian's going to be putting out. This was a lot of fun.
We usually wrap the show. You've seen usually the end of the show. We yell Cooligans at the screen.
Yep.
So we will do that. So for Jillian Sakovitz, for Susanna Collins, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!